This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Sorry, I am on a call. Hello? Andy Zaltzman. I would like to place a bet on the 70th word I say on this week's news quiz being porcupine. Yes, including these words. No, it has never been the 70th word of the news quiz before. £100. 1,000 to 1, deal. Of course I do not have any inside information on what will be in the porcupine. Get in! Ka-ching! Welcome to the newly omniscient news quiz. I'm Andy Zaltzman, and I'm well aware that I have a ridiculous job, but I have to say, I've never felt more like a cabinet minister than I have this past week, in that I too have come to the realisation that whatever I say and do will have absolutely no impact on the election result on the 4th of July. Anyway, I sincerely hope both of our teams will at least pretend they think they can win rather than just begging me to let them lose by a dignified margin. And our teams this week, in a week in which the Conservatives all but admitted defeat and Keir Starmer was accused of being a political robot, we have team out of office against team auto reply. On team out of office, we have Athena Coblenou and Lucy Porter. And on team auto reply, Alistair Beckett-King and Hugo Rifkin. Hugo and Alistair, you can take the first question. Who produced a load of what this week?
Is it... I know this. It's... Oh, is this to us? Or for
well, it can be. Let's,
oh, sorry.
Athena produced a load of question-stealing techniques.
I've learned how to do these things by watching the debates and just talk. Sorry, after you.
This is all the manifestos.
Yes.
Everyone's got their manifestos this week. I think the Conservatives have the most forlorn manifesto, I think.
Right.
It's kind of like it's like a sort of marriage guidance therapy manifesto. Kind of going like, I can change. My new boyfriend's really boring. Give me another chance. It's like in no other field of life would it be acceptable to act like the Conservative manifesto. It's like your builder going, you know, I thought we'd give your new conservatory a sort of Palace of Versailles feel. Cornicing. And you're going like, but you built the garage out of mud and it fell down in a week. Yeah. But they just, it's the chutzpah of it that I quite admire. We'll do it differently next time because we can, just didn't.
They don't seem confident. I don't know if you've seen the Tory manifesto, but the cover is a picture of Rishi Sunak clearing his desk. Just putting, like, gonks and potted plants in a cardboard box.
My favourite thing was that they launched it at Silverstone. You know, you think, well, I guess they were thinking, you know, it's racing, it's go ahead, but you're like, that is just so much potential for talk about the wheels coming off. Red flags.
Massive car crashes.
Massive car crashes, exactly. Rishi's got the look of... Sometimes when I'm doing a gig and I'm like, I've got to do the full time, otherwise they might not pay me, but it's not going very well. And it's that sort of desperation of just seeing out his time, isn't it? Just thinking, what did I miss on Sky?
But that's why he went to Silverstone, right? Because Formula One's on Sky now. So he was like, finally! Get to see this track in the flesh. It's amazing. Good for you, Rishi. It's a full circle moment for you. Good for you.
We also had the Labour manifesto, of course, just today. Oh, yesterday, or whatever, on Thursday. But it was the front of the Evening Standard. It said, Keir Starmer wants to relight Britain's fire. And I thought his speech was sort of amazing, because he basically said, how can we escape this feeling of insecurity? Because I need you so much, and I'm not sure you really need me. But if we all stand up, etc.
For me, Starmer's Labour government is going to be like Turkish delight. You know, go with me. You know, when you read the Chronicles of Narnia, you hear about Turkish delight, and I spent my entire adult life thinking I would love Turkish delight, and then when you actually try Turkish delight, this is horrible, I hate it. I'm not enjoying this at all.
I had the same with lions from reading the Chronicles. Real disappointment.
Isn't it a vital theme always of, like, Labour governments that Labour voters don't like them? Isn't that just always happen? You know, it's like Labour sort of in its tireless war against the real enemy that is Labour.
Well, there's still a good amount of infighting, isn't it? I mean, it does look like Labour's going to win, but they're not taking it lying down, are they? They're not going up without a fight.
I'm not going to enjoy it. I enjoyed the Labour manifesto just because of the sheer volume of pictures of Keir Starmer. It's something like 36 pictures of him, which is going to make it a lot easier to make my calendar.
3 years worth, isn't it?
It is. It's, I mean, I only use the head and I just stick it on Ken Bruce's body, but...
I read the manifesto. It does have some really radical things. Like, they're going to build one... Well, they say they're going to build 1.5 million council homes because Angela Rayner is going to flip a few of them for profit. But still ambitious. I'm happy to hear that. Yeah.
When they launched it, because they launched it in Manchester, and it was, I was listening to the news, and it said, oh, when Keir Starmer launched his manifesto and he was flanked by Angela Rayner and Rachel Reeve, and I did mishear that. God, he's really trying to up his interest level there.
Well, as he launched the manifesto, he promised a decade of what?
Pictures for my calendar. Change is the big word, isn't it?
But it is, but it's kind of like the Labour pitch, a colleague of mine put it, it's basically, Britain needs change, but don't worry, we won't do it.
Having said that, there's some bold stuff in there. Potholes. We're going to sort out the potholes. Big deal for Labour. According to Labour, there are more potholes on London roads than there are craters on the surface of the moon. Although the parking is worse on the moon, so... Swings and roundabouts, which is another thing they don't have on the moon. The pothole problem is, you know, there are a lot of potholes, and Labour are committed to sorting out a million potholes a year. And there are two ways to deal with potholes. One of them is you fill them in, and the other is you join them up. It's a much cheaper way of reducing the number of potholes. We just have one massive pothole stretching between Watford and Aberdeen. It's a really good excuse for being late. You're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. I'm in the mega hole.
I know what they should do with potholes. They should fill them up with sand, and then there's sand pits everywhere.
The thing is, you turn them into sand pits, and Ed Davey will be in there. He's got a bucket and spade at the ready, hasn't he? You know that.
Always.
He's having the best time of his bloody life, isn't he? I didn't even read the Lib Dem manifesto. What's in that?
I don't think they've read it either.
It's just all the things that Davey's going to do. It's like one of those catalogues for Red Letter Day adventures.
Ballooning, pogo sticks, all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
His vibe is the vibe of, it's like your mum has left your dad because he's a bit dull. And he's like, I'll show her dull. Put a boring man, get a makeover on this morning. I don't know what Ed Davey sounds like, so that's an impression of my dad. Could a boring man go on a log flume with three senior Lib Dems? I'd like to see that.
Does her new boyfriend Keith go zorbing? I don't think he does.
Was it a decade of national renewal?
Yes.
What does that mean? Is it like, are we like a big library book? And we've got to renew ourselves every 4 weeks. What does it mean, Andy?
Yeah, makeover.
What does it mean?
A lot of exfoliating and...
A spa day for everyone. That's what it means. Yes. Mud packs. Yeah. Avocados. Cucumbers. I've never been on a spa day. I don't know what you do.
I think it's mostly vegetables, yeah.
I'm not sure I want a whole decade of national renewal. I'll be really old in a decade. Can they not get it done in, like, 6 months? And then we can just have a nice country for the rest of it. Also, I mean, is that mad?
I don't know if we need a decade of... I mean, looking at the state of things now, if you just promised us an afternoon of mild competence...
Sticking plaster politics a little while ago. Yeah. I thought that was a good slogan. They've dropped that one.
What's wrong with sticking plaster politics? It's better than no sticking plaster politics. Better than just bleed on the floor politics.
I guess the problem is if you've just had your leg chainsawed off.
Would you rather have a sticking plaster or no sticking plaster?
I feel like if the person who'd written the Labour Party manifesto was taking their 11 plus, they'd do really well because they're really good at opposite words. And at key stage two, that's vital. So, like, chaos, stability, you know, disorder, order. Like, well done, whoever wrote it. Like, because I hear they like grammar schools, so they'll probably get in.
And the Tories have gone their two-word things. Clear plan, bold action, no chance. They left.
If I were a Tory now, I would just be really chilled out about it. Because, you know, it, for me, it would be like the last day of school. I'd just be getting other tourists to sign my shirts. I'd be tying Rishi Sunak's tie around his head like Rambo. I'd bring in a board game.
Yeah, like being really rude to the speaker, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a little bit sarcastic. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You can't do nothing to me, sir, now.
Yeah. Both parties have been accusing the other of having uncosted and expensive manifestos. Wes Streeting of Labour called the Conservative manifesto the most expensive what in history?
Toilet paper.
The correct answer is panic attack.
Okay.
Do you think that's, is that fair, Hugo?
Well, yeah. They are sort of floundering. Like I said, they are trying to sort of throwing everything at the wall, trying to find a policy that somebody somewhere will vote for.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, fair enough. I like Wes Streeting. I'm really intrigued to see in what manner I hate him in about 3 years' time.
That's the joy of a change of government.
Isn't it?
The Reform Party don't have a manifesto, do they? They've got some sort of, like, policy document.
Policy document.
They've got a back of a napkin that says, send them back.
Farage is waiting for someone to throw some printer ink at him so he can...
I've seen their policy document, and it's still got the picture of the old leader on it, with the word draft. So I just do wonder why they get invited places when they don't even have a proper document with the actual information on it that's correct.
I know. The side of a bus would do.
I didn't want to just dismiss Reform as, like, little England of fascists, so I also downloaded the policy document and translated it from the original German. I think we're pronouncing the name wrong, because Reform, I always thought there's something weird about that, because it sounds like a left-wing party. Reform, like progress, but I think it's meant to be Reform, like in Terminator 2, when they smash the T-2000 into little bits, and then he reforms into the ultimate killing machine. I think that's what we're dealing with.
Or like, you know, supermarket ham, where it's like...
It's probably what reconstituted.
Yes, yeah. That is it. It's been reformed into the shape of Nigel Farage.
I'm never eating ham again.
Let's look at some of the other parties' policies as announced in their manifestos, but we're going to make it a bit challenging for our panellists. So we're going to start with a Lib Dem policy in which there is one wrong word. You have to tell me what the wrong word is and what the correct word should be. And the Lib Dems' policy is, we are going to clamp down on budgie smugglers. Which is the wrong word?
That's my vote right there. It's absolutely. If I don't have to see a German's penis in when you go Euro camping.
Are you going to see it less if it's got a clamp on it? Is it people smugglers?
Not people, no.
Well, because that'd be ridiculous, yeah, wouldn't it?
We love them. Is it 19th century smugglers as featured in Daphne du Maurier's Jamaica Inn?
I think that was in the draft manifesto, yeah, but it didn't poll well with the focus groups.
Because that would be fun. That would be swashbuckling.
I don't know if I should confess to this, but, like, when I was younger, I would go to concerts and I figured out I could fit a miniature bottle of alcohol under each boob. Mm. And I'd always wear, like, an underwired bra and I'd stick a couple, just one under each one, guys. Yep. I wasn't that blessed.
Yeah. I can get a range of optics under mine these days.
I think the correct answer is pets, like dogs and cats.
Yes.
Ah. And throughout the policy document, they talk about, like, dog thieves and cat thieves. And there are so many more interesting ways that you can describe the stealing of pets, and they don't use any of them. I've written a short list. Catnapping. Misappropriation. Grand Theft Bow Wow. Purloinment. Like a cat purse. I could go on.
Do.
Pet tea larceny. That's all I could come up with, but still... People are smuggling lovely little cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Point of order.
Yes.
If the correct answer to this is that it's about pet smuggling,
yep,
I put it to you that a budgie is a pet.
They didn't specifically say budgie.
This includes budgie smuggling. The Lib Dems didn't say we're going to clamp down on pet smuggling unless it's a budgie, in which case, fill your literal boots. So...
Can I get this straight? So this is an election with, like, real issues and NHS waiting lists and, like, early years childcare costs.
Why do you hate budgies, Athena?
And also, like, cats don't need to be smuggled. They'll bugger off of their own accord.
Let's move on to our next policy. Again, one wrong word. This applied Cymru policy. We demand more funding for necromancy. What's the wrong word?
It's funding. They want more candles.
Just us, isn't it?
Yeah, in a bizarre twist, Plaid Cymru are interested in whales.
Yeah. Smuggling them, or...?
Let's have a Conservative policy now. One word is wrong in here. We are going to deliver the biggest humiliation in over 100 years.
Humiliation is the wrong word. It should be baby. They're going to deliver the biggest baby. It's like, old babies look like Winston Churchill, but they're going to deliver one that's actually the size of Winston Churchill as well.
As you said, it's going to be the biggest prison building programme in over 100 years.
Wow.
They've got to have somewhere they put all the people they gave PPE contracts to.
Another bit of insider knowledge they've used there.
Yeah. I think this is shocking, actually. If you read the policy, and you won't believe this when I say it, they're planning to build ginger-only prisons. For... I don't know why you're laughing. Look at the manifesto. They're planning to build four types of prison, one's for gingers, and then scary, sporty and baby. What about posh people? Don't be silly. Posh people never go to prison. Just a bit of satire there.
Yeah, they have a promise to build more prisons. If it's anything like the Johnson administration's pledge to build more hospitals, we can all look forward to Wormwood Scrubs being designated as brand new after they stick a please do not escape sticker on the prison gates. And the 3 million annual visitors to the Tower of London will be whacked onto the prison population stats. The M62 will be redefined as a jail after a particularly annoying traffic jam. And Drellard Buttclerk, the under-sub minister for national decline, will say, are we not all prisoners of our own minds? There are now 68 million prisoners in the country. So it's a policy that could well work out.
They did build like about a million houses since 2019, but Jeremy Hunt owns all of them.
Greens policy now, rather than one word wrong, there are some missing words from this, Lucy and Athena. Can you tell me what the missing words are? And the Greens say, we are going to scrap universities and achieve zero by 2040.
We are going to scrap blue WKD in university and achieve zero unplanned late teen pregnancies.
They're green, so they're going to scrap university's lawnmowers because you're supposed to let your lawns grow. And if you let your lawns grow, the bees come back. And my memory of university was that it had a massive lawn because I was sick in it a lot.
They're going to scrap what? Parts of universities?
They're going to scrap universities' tuition fees.
Ah.
That is good.
Achieve net zero. So those were the missing words.
That's odd, because they're not really related, are they? Why would you put them in the same sentence?
Yes, if manifestos be the food of democracy, the entire nation is now face down over a toilet bowl, vomiting uncontrollably after chowing down on some seriously undercooked ingredients. As always, the contents of the manifestos can be neatly divided into three categories. One, things that won't happen because that party won't be in power. Two, things that won't happen because there is no money left for anything. And three, things that won't happen because they're obviously insane. Labour, with a whopping lead in the opinion polls, are going to have to surpass even themselves to screw things up from here. But they've offered votes for 16 and 17-year-olds, funded, I think, by taking votes away from 34 and 57-year-olds. The Conservatives are pushing a programme of tax cuts, which seems to be based on the premise that after 14 years in power, there is absolutely no way people will believe they can actually do anything. Clearly, this is a tough sell for the Conservatives after 14 years in power, with the nation at large in a state of advanced harumph. A sales pitch reminiscent of a door-to-door hairdresser turning up with one pair of scissors sticking out of their forehead, another rammed into their ear, blood running down their face and a roadkill badger's tail gaffer-taped to their scalp, saying, could I possibly interest you in a haircut? For the parties with no hope of winning or even sharing power, there has been a disappointing lack of creativity. When you can offer anything, knowing that you will not have to follow it through, Reform UK could be offering a new inflatable decoy Britain that they can just pump up and float out into the Atlantic to hoodwink all the asylagrants. The Greens could offer a new mountain range for East Anglia just to perk things up. The Conservatives, a personal nuclear deterrent for every household. Let's move on now to the various interviews we've had this week. Starmer and Sunak were both interviewed by Beth Rigby on Sky. Starmer said that he is relishing the opportunity to make what in 10 Downing Street? Bearing in mind, this is a family show.
Is it a croque and bouche?
It's not the correct answer.
Any suggestions? It's not he's looking forward to the opportunity to make love to Tony Blair. while he's dressed as Margaret Thatcher. In number 10 Downing Street. No?
No, it's not that.
Okay.
Right. Where did that idea come from, Hugo?
It's just an idea I've always had.
Is it he's looking forward to his first COVID party?
He said he's looking forward to making the big decisions.
Which left-wing MP to sack next?
They're obsessed with decisions, the political class. For Labour, it's big decisions. For the Tories, it's hard decisions. And it kind of irritates me because the people who are affected by those decisions are never the people who are proud of being able to make them. It's like there are people in the country who are choosing between heating and eating. That's a big decision. Like, I haven't got a joke, but I'm so angry.
In the interview with ITV that Rishi Sunak prematurely left the D-Day memorials for, he said he'd heartbreakingly gone without what as a child.
Speaking as a member of the Growing Up Without Sky community... Can I just say thank you to Rishi Sunak for that? I didn't see an episode of The Simpsons until it came to the BBC in 1996. A full 6 years after my slightly more middle-class neighbours saw it on Sky. I told myself I wasn't going to do this. I'm sorry.
If he had seen The Simpsons, at least he'd know what a working-class family looked like, I suppose.
I wondered if he meant, when he said that he wasn't allowed Sky when he was a kid, that he meant, like, the company. Because he could buy it now.
It is interesting that, you know, they're trying to pretend they're less posh than they are. Because, like, you know, my mum and dad desperately tried to pretend they were more posh than... My mum used to say broccoli.
My parents used to pretend they were posh. They used to buy, like, branded stuff, like, once and keep the container. And then they'd fill it up with a non-branded equivalent, like, over and over. Like, we had, like, a bottle of Fairy Liquid, yeah? 20 years that lasted, that way.
Yes, the polls after the show suggested that more people thought Starmer had won, and as an English person, I have to say, I found it an excellent way to gear up for Euro 2024, watching an Englishman grind out a workmanlike but unconvincing result devoid of flair and imagination, but suggesting that as soon as things get difficult, the whole thing will probably fall apart. And not a lot from the left wing, as always. Do these kind of shows and debates change anyone's mind? Well, it's hard to tell. Would watching two rhinoceroses eating a saxophone make you want to go to a jazz club? I guess the answer is maybe, but probably not. Right, well, that brings us to the end of our extremely long election round.
Was that all the first question?
That was the first question. And it's 6 points all. Let's have a bit of a palate cleanse around with some other news from around the world. This can go to Hugo and Alistair. Who will not be retaining his title on the 4th of July?
Is Sir Mix-a-Lot returning his OBE?
It's Lord Mix-a-Lot now.
I'm sorry.
But no, it's not.
This is the hot dog guy.
It is, correct.
There's a man.
Yep.
Who eats hot dogs. And that sounds mental. There's lots of men who eat hot dogs. There's a particular man who eats hot dogs.
Yes.
Who's called Joey Chestnut.
Correct.
He's a champion of eating hot dogs.
Yep.
But he's started eating vegan hot dogs.
Yep.
And the makers of the non-vegan hot dogs, the ones that are made of actual dog, are really upset and have kicked him out of the hot dog competition.
Yeah.
And this is news.
It's huge news.
He's also... he's a champion of lots of kinds of eating, this man.
Yep.
He's also once ate 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you think that's not going to smell good for days, I'd have thought. I mean, you can see why, after all that, you'd prefer a vegan hot dog, to be honest. But there you go.
His nickname is Jaws. Joey Jaws Chestnut, because, I looked this up, like a shark, I am afraid of him.
Is his slogan, we're going to need a bigger belt? Sorry, thank you.
Does this mean... So he's not retaining his title on the 4th of July. So does this mean on the day we are going to vote, we are going to be missing
the hot dog eating championships.
Yeah.
What an inconveniently scheduled.
I think it's called Jaws. I mean, that is the obvious bit of your body you're going to use to eat the hot dog. If it was called arse, you'd really wonder, wouldn't you?
Is this a last-minute entrant as a contender for the Major League Eating Contest with a radical new approach to the game?
I misunderstood the phrase last-minute entrance there entirely.
He's got a whole cockenbush up there.
It is really, in reality, I think it is just all about money. It's just that he's gone with the sponsor that doesn't sponsor the main game, and they don't like that. He happens to have chosen one that makes vegan hot dogs, and that has upset some of the broad-minded intellectuals who enjoy competitive eating.
Right, so with the scores tied, we go into our tiebreaker final round. So can either team tell me which world-famous continent, famous for having experienced some fairly significant glitches when drifting to the right politically, has, in recent elections, drifted to the right politically?
Is it Europe?
Correct.
So there's been, you know, European elections, a lot of far-right parties have done quite well, and Emmanuel Macron thought, I'm looking at the UK, they're having a snap election, I fancy one of those, because I did stay for the whole of D-Day, so I've got nothing to worry about. But probably what it is that Emmanuel Macron's looked at what fun Ed Davey is having. I've always wanted to Zorb, but I will do it.
You've got to feel bad for Brexiters, haven't you? Just after they leave and Europe goes to the right. Come on, you know? It's like getting divorced just before your wife metamorphosises into a Victoria's Secret model. It's everything they dreamt of, and now it's happening for someone else because they've gone and bloody left. Poor them.
I don't understand it. Why would you think, oh, everybody's voting for people who aren't me? I know what I'll do. I'll let them vote. It feels a bit odd.
It's like it's bad parenting, isn't it? It's what I remember doing this when I took my kids to a fair once, and my sister had given them 20 quid because she's like that, and they wanted to spend it all on the sweets and the candy floss and the fudge, and I was like, no, look, you're going to make yourselves really sick. And then eventually I went, oh, right, fine, just do it, fine. And they went off and spent all their money on sweets and still remember it as the best day of their entire life.
Do your kids now vote for hard-right political parties?
Yeah, they associate fascism with the sweet, sweet taste of candy floss.
Right, well, that brings us to the end of this week's news quiz, and Lucy and Athena have won! Congratulations! Thank you very much for listening. I've been Andy Zoltzman. Goodbye! Taking part in the news quiz were Alistair Beckett-King, Athena Kablenu, Hugo Rifkin and Lucy Porter. In the chair was me, Andy Zoltzman, and additional material was written by Christina Riggs, Herries Anderton, Meryl O'Rourke, Mike Shepherd and Peter Talouche. The producer was Sam Holmes, and it was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
Can you just tell me who he is?
No.
Has he got any distinguishing features?
His anonymity.
What's his name?
Banksy.
I'm James Peake, and I'm on a mission to find out how Banksy became the world's most famous and infamous living artist.
He could literally be anyone.
Banksy essentially humiliates the art world.
With dealers, critics, and someone who once worked deep inside Banksy's secret team.
Do you wish you didn't know who he was?
Sometimes I wish I'd never heard of Banksy.
The Banksy Story, with me, James Peake, on Radio 4. Listen now on BBC Sounds.
How does he smell?
Like paint.
Neulich auf der EM-Grillparty.
Und Ball gewinnen. Jetzt vielleicht der letzte
Angriff gespielt. Komm schon!
Nur noch eine Minute für ein Tor.
Jetzt muss es schnell gehen.
Komm schon. Nur noch eine Minute für eine perfekte gegrillte Wurst.
Auch nur fürs Essen da? Dann hol dir die vegane Bratwurst von Rügenwalder Mühle. Am besten schmeckt's, wenn's allen schmeckt. Rügenwalder Mühle.